Welcome to the Talking Nutrition Podcast, where twice a week, you'll learn about all things health, fitness, and mindset. I'm your host, Yoel Investors, and it's my goal to simplify nutrition, provide you with actionable strategies, and teach you repeatable systems so you can create real results at last. Now, real quick, you won't find any crazy restrictive diets or quick fixes here, and the stuff that we talk about is basic, easy to apply, and effective. However, the only way to create change is by putting what you learn into action. Now go ahead and grab yourself a coffee, pour me one while you're at it, and let's dive into the episode.
What's up and welcome back. Talking Nutrition 31. Did you know that you burn more calories if you eat tiny, tiny meals about 20 times per day? Or maybe not. No. We'll find out today. No, not really. Today we're going to talk about the thermic effect of food, basically the calories you burn through digestion, which actually does account for about 10% of your total daily energy expenditure, which is it counts, you know, it's not going to move the needle. It's not going to like make you lose fat, but it's a nice little bonus, you know. Like to mention a study, which by the way, I base a blog on, so I'll link that below as well. But first, just want to do a little catch up because you got a second dog, right?
Yeah. So it was something that we were thinking about for a while because one of Eric's friends almost adopted her, then Eric's parents almost adopted her. And it just was like swirling around in my head for so long. I couldn't stop thinking about it. And it's Rose's cousin. So they have the same, or no, their mothers are sisters. And the original owner brought her back to the breeder and couldn't take care of her for some reason, which I was like, she's so easy. She's super affectionate, super loving. And these two are getting along really good. So it's definitely like they're crazy when they play and it's like chaos when I'm trying to work. And so some days Eric's been taking Stormies so we can just like chill and I can actually focus on my work. But other than that, it's been so good.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I think because like we've always had two pets, you know, we had two dogs when I grew up and it was always two. And I think that's a good thing because they have each other, you know.
Yeah.
Even if you're like not home, they'll play together. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think or I believe it's probably better for the pet in general anyway, you know?
Yeah. They're opposites. So like Rose is so crazy. Like I don't think I realized how crazy Rose was until Stormy came in the picture. Like she is so hyper, super high energy. And Stormy is like super chill and super affectionate. And Rose is affectionate, but Stormy's like on another level. So they kind of balance each other out, which is good.
That's great. No, I love that. That's great. I can't wait to get a dog eventually.
Yeah.
Got to get a house first.
Yeah.
Right now we're in an apartment with two cats already, so it'll be chaos.
Yeah.
Plus my girlfriend is allergic, so we gotta figure out a situation because I do really want to have a dog.
Yeah.
Maybe two.
Yeah.
I'm a dog person, you know? I guess I'm both. I was thinking about that.
I grew up with cats and then I got a dog for the first time last year and I was like, why didn't I ever have a dog?
I feel like people get so passionate about that shit. It's kind of like the pineapple on pizza thing. It's like,
yeah.
At the end of the day, who the fuck cares?
Like, I know.
Who the fuck cares? Because yeah. I've seen people literally like almost fight on about this shit. And have this. Well, about the pizza thing. But even like with cats and dogs, you know?
Yeah.
I told someone not too long ago when we got these two. And they were like, oh, yeah, no, I like dogs. I don't like cats. I was like, well, yeah, cool. Like, let me have cats.
Yeah, I do.
You know? And like, they're great. Anyway, I didn't think we were going to talk about pets today. But we probably should because there's actually research behind this, you know,
there is
research on, I think, lower stress when you have pets in your life.
It's good for your hormones.
Also, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure
get
is.
You extra anabolic.
Yeah.
Cool. So thermic effect, real quick, before we get into this. Thermic effect, like I said, it's about 10% of your total daily energy expenditure, and you can kind of influence that by adjusting your macro split, right? So once again, it's not really going to be like the biggest mover, but it does count. Now, real quick, if we look at protein, carbs, and fats, protein is going to be 20 to 30%. Carbs, 5 to 10, and then fats, 0 to 3. So that means that when you eat protein, of those calories, 20 to 30% gets burned off through digestion already. For carbs, it's 5 to 10. Once again, if fats, 0 to 3. So you can kind of influence that. And then also by eating fiber as well, you'll increase your thermic effect. So altogether, food quality is going to matter. And I do think that in the long term, you're going to benefit from eating mostly whole foods, having a higher protein diet, etc., in terms of at least supporting fat loss and then also just making it easier because those foods are also more filling, right? Protein, fiber, etc. So right. All great stuff. So first, kind of want to bust a myth, Christine, because we've all heard that eating tiny meals many times, many, many times throughout the day spikes in metabolism, right?
Yeah, I definitely think that this is exaggerated, very much exaggerated. We had said on here that it came from bodybuilders. Is that where it came from, you think?
I've heard so. I'm not sure. That's why I put likely. So like I have heard that where people sometimes think like, well, they look at bodybuilders, they were like bulking and they had to get so much food in or something. And I do believe at some point they thought it was higher based on like how often you would eat. But it turns out not to be true. That's the cool thing about research too. We just learn new shit and then sometimes ends up not being true, you know?
Right. So thermic defective food, it's more so going to depend. So an increase in thermic defective food is more so going to depend on, you know, your total caloric intake for the day. Also, like Johan mentioned, like protein, right, is going to increase that thermic defective food versus carbs and fats. So it comes down to more so how much you're eating and that macro split. Or, I mean, if you're not tracking macro, just how much, you know, protein you're intaking or fiber you're intaking.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, once again, I do think it's a good idea to try to at least leverage that, at least those foods, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because if we would look at something like, let's say a diet is completely like processed stuff and processed foods are already like more easily absorbed and stuff, easier to break down. Mm-hmm. That versus like, you know, like a mostly whole food, minimally processed food diet, I do think that's going to be a big difference, you know?
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, once again, so it does depend on the total amount.
Because if you're, for example, like thermic defective food, so it's going to decrease, say you're in a cut, your thermic defective food is going to decrease simply because you're eating less food. Right. And vice versa. If you're reverse dieting or maintenance, your thermic defect will increase because you're eating more food.
Yeah. So like it is true that your metabolic rate increases after eating, but it's not like you're going to get more and more just by eating 6, 7, 8 meals, you know?
Right.
Cool. So I did want to mention a study here, which I thought was really cool. And then we'll get into why we actually think it's important to have a frequent schedule, right? That's kind of set. So there was a 2022 randomized controlled trial published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. And they looked at the effect of a irregular meal pattern versus kind of like a more consistent one, right? They looked at the effects on thermic effect, which is our main topic today. And they also looked at glucose, insulin, lipid profile, appetite regulation in women who are overweight or with obesity and confirmed insulin resistance. So the researchers had a group of women consume 6 meals each day for 2 weeks on one occasion and 3 to 9 meals a day for 2 weeks on another occasion. And this was randomized. So all meals were provided to the women so that total energy intake should be identical. Now, afterwards, they measured the thermic effect of a test meal, and they found that it was 27% higher after having a constant daily meal frequency, which is kind of crazy if you think about it. So that's a big difference. I still don't think that that's going to be the biggest mover but I do believe this counts, you know, and it does show like there is actually a benefit to that.
Yep.
But it's not just about the thermic effect, right? Because I think we're both equally big on having kind of like a schedule, like a set meal frequency and creating that structure, right? Having that daily consistent meal frequency.
Yes. Did we mention like thermic defective food, like what it actually is? Did you mention that at the beginning? Like thermic defective food is how many calories? Yeah. Okay. I didn't know if you had said like it's how much we burn from digesting and absorbing food. Okay. Just make sure. Just want to make sure.
That. Yeah, that's okay.
Where were we? Sorry. What were we talking about?
Why we think it's important to have like a consistent meal schedule, you know, like having saying, okay, I'm going to eat four times a day.
Yeah. I actually have experience with this. I'm sure that you do. I was the type of person that would eat kind of like all day. Like I'd have my breakfast and then snack and then lunch and then snacks and like random snacks in between. And I was always hungry when I was doing that. And I switched and I started having bigger breakfasts, which then kept me satiated until lunch. I'd have a bigger lunch, which then would keep me satiated for like a midday snack. And then I'd have my dinner. And I basically was only eating four times a day. And my hunger leveled out and I was not hungry all day. And it's because I was having those, you know, the meals were spread out, you know, 3 to 4 hours in between. They were bigger meals and they're just more satiating. Versus if you're having smaller meals throughout the day, again, they're not going to be satiating. Hunger is going to be high. And then you're more likely to overconsume calories when doing that. Right, like snacking and stuff like that. So that person, I have experience with that. It also, what plays into that is blood sugar, right? So like giving yourself, you know, 3 to 4 hours in between meals helps to regulate blood sugar. Versus if you're eating all day, your blood sugar is kind of going up, down, up, down, up, down, and that can cause more hunger and cravings too. So the bigger, more balanced meals helps with hunger and it helps with satiety, or that's the same thing, but it helps with regulating blood sugar, which is gonna play into hunger and satiety.
Yeah, for sure. I think it just makes it way more simple to follow as well.
That too. Like I know, and the thing is like, I think people who have schedules, like the same schedule, it can be really easy. I mean, sometimes this can be a little bit trickier when someone has a busier schedule. But I mean, that's going to be an individual thing to figure out, right?
Hmm. Yeah. Like you could say, hey, you know, I have four meals a day. I eat five times a day, you know, or three, six, whatever. Like I would say from experience with my clients, at least 4 to 5 seems to be the sweet spot for most people. I'm not a big fan of three, I will say.
At least either.
If we're thinking like staying full, muscle building, etc. Six, I mean, people usually already struggle coming up with meals for like four meals, you know?
And I feel like that's getting into the point where like you're kind of eating all day long.
I think so too.
Starting to.
Yeah. It's really just personal preference as well.
Mm-hmm.
So how often do you eat now, total?
Four.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. So I'm usually at, let me think, because I'm like 4 to 5. I've been a little random recently, depending on my day with my post or my pre-workout shake. So I have breakfast. Yeah, okay, 5. Yeah, I try to stick to 5 just because my food's going up and up, you know. I like to switch that too sometimes.
Okay. You like to switch it?
Sometimes, yeah. Because I got to a point in my cut where I was like, well, I'm eating 5 meals. I just don't like how small these meals are anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I found out I do pretty good in the morning moving breakfast later. So I just moved it to 4 just so I can have bigger meals. I like bigger meals. I enjoy that more.
Same. Yeah. I know we've talked about this, but there's definitely like a psychological aspect to that too, where like you're eating more volume and things like that. It helps me feel full. I mean, the volume will, but it's just, I like eating big meals. It helps from a psychological standpoint. I mean, and not eating all day long too, like you give digestion a break as well, which we want to do, right? Like we don't just want to be constantly eating all day. We can run into like bloating and things like that. I mean, and that's why, again, that's another reason why I usually space like 3 to 4 hours in between meals, just to give my digestion a break.
Hey, what's up? Sorry to interrupt. I promise we'll keep it short. As you already know, we don't do ads here, and I really just do this podcast out of passion for helping everyday people like yourself learn more and get results. Now, because I do this absolutely for free, would it be cool to ask you for a quick rating on Spotify or Apple? You can do it while you're listening. It really just takes a few seconds, and it would actually mean the world to me and help us grow the show and reach more people like you. Thank you so much. Now let's get back to the episode.
For sure. I mean, it even plays into like your hunger hormones and stuff. Like we all know that feeling, like when you go to the doctor or something or get a blood test and you fast that morning and you're used to eating breakfast at 8 or 9, whatever, you'll notice if you don't have that breakfast, you'll get hungry at that time too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You're changing up your hunger cues and your body will adapt to those.
Yeah. And I'd say just in general, with pretty much everything, like your body does really do very well having a routine, you know, that goes for sleep.
Yep.
But I mean, like pretty much everything else as well. Like everything runs on its own, like biological clock, you know?
Right.
And I do think, all that aside, you know, if we just look at like the practical side of things, it's just going to make it easier for you to stick to knowing, hey, I have my breakfast, lunch, dinner, evening meal, whatever you want to call it, right? Instead of, maybe I'll eat 3 times a day or maybe 6, or I'll just eat whenever I feel like it. I think that's a lot of like, this might be like one of those things where people have a weird experience with like macros and stuff, because they're just trying to like
hit their numbers,
randomly collect some here and there. And it's kind of like, well, there's no strategy here. Like we're just kind of doing random shit.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I sometimes have people work on this too, like from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Like if there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff that we got to fix, you know, let's just start there.
Yeah.
Come up with your meal frequency, pick a couple foods, and let's just try to stick to that for a little bit, you know?
Yep. And like all, you know, someone has a schedule that's kind of, you know, erratic, or they have different schedule on different days, like we make up different schedule timings for that too. But I mean, it's not, I don't think that like we need to say, okay, I'm going to eat at like 8 and then I'm going to eat at 12. And like, there's gotta be flexibility within the structure.
100%.
Right. Cause that can just become stressful.
Yeah, I think so too, because then you would almost get into like the, and this is me personally, when I got into intermittent fasting, and if we're talking like nutrient and meal timing and all that, like that's kind of included in that too. It's not like how often you eat maybe, but like how long, you know, or how much time you have to eat, but still,
right.
There was a point where I took that too far, where I was really worried to break my fast. This was even like taking supplements. I was like Googling like, does magnesium break your fast? Like those kind of things, you know? Because I heard a certain CrossFitter on YouTube saying how much he loved it. Not having any idea if it would actually be a good idea for me. Mm-hmm. And guess what? It wasn't. I was really fucking cranky.
I bet.
People around me, I was on tour back then too. People told me like, you just gotta start eating in the evening because it's...
I am definitely not the person who can intermittent fast. That's for sure.
No, I do it right now. Basically, I just don't call it that. But like my mornings, like I kept that habit for my cut and I enjoy it, you know?
So I get up at 5 in the morning.
Yeah, I do as well, but I feel like somehow I can just kind of stay a little more focused and stuff, not having like a very heavy meal in my stomach.
Yeah.
So I go from like 5 to 10. I just kind of like, it's just coffee, you know? So I guess I'm fasting, but I don't have to call it intermittent fasting.
Right.
I just eat when I like it, you know?
Right. I guess, well, one thing when I was going through a lot of my Rose, can you hear? She's being a little, hold on, let me let her out. Gosh.
It's going to be a recurring theme. Rose crying, leaving. There we go.
That's so quick. So one thing when I was going through, I mean, I'm still doing a lot of my gut stuff. It's just ongoing. But one thing I started to implement then was like, I just cut off eating around like 7 at night. And then I don't eat until like 8. So I guess you could call that like intermittent fasting, but I'm really just not eating. I'm just cutting off eating at a certain time at night again. And that's not, and that's coming from the standpoint of like just giving my gut a break.
Yeah. 100%. And I was watching that same reel again this morning. I was laughing so hard.
So funny.
No, but like, I think with the meal frequency, with the meal timing and even nutrient timing, like I do want to also mention that this is a detail, right? If we look at the nutrition pyramid by Eric Helms, and if the listener is not familiar with that, look it up. Nutrition pyramid by Eric Helms. It's amazing. But you'll see energy balance. You got macronutrients and you have micronutrients. And then it's nutrient timing and then supplements. But nutrient timing, like it'll make a little bit of a difference, and it can. And I like getting a little bit more out of nutrient timing when the time is right, you know, when clients are ready for that. But I don't think altogether that a lot of people should really worry about it.
Yeah.
If the rest is not taken care of yet.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Yeah, like you said, it's kind of like a detail. It's a detail type of thing. But I mean, again, totally depends on the person. Yeah. You know, some people are going to do better with the structure. You also have to just, you know, be aware of how you're feeling. Like if you're having multiple meals during the day and you're super hungry, you know, maybe we switch it up and try and figure, you know, something else and try bigger and less frequent meals. You know, there are people who just feel better with eating across the day more often. I mean, so again, it totally depends on the individual and how they're responding and how they're feeling and really what works for them.
Yeah, 100%. And your schedule, like your work.
Yeah.
If you want to eat 5 times, but your work literally doesn't allow for it, then, you know, let's maybe not eat 5 times a day.
Right.
Let's make it easier. Mm-hmm. Do you have a lot of shift working clients?
Not right now. No.
I've been getting more recently.
Tough.
Yeah.
But like I have in the past and, you know, you have like consistency and stuff is going to look different, you know, depending on the day. It's something that you kind of have to like shift around and there's a lot of trial and error that happens there in the beginning to figure out what actually works for that person. I feel like there's no definitive answer to give oh my gosh, I'm having a brain fart. There's no definitive answer to give them because again, it totally depends on how they're feeling, what their schedule is actually like, what their shift working, their shift hours are. Right. So the last one I had, we had to do a lot of trial and error to figure it out. Like when she was going to train, right. Things like that.
Yeah. It's tough. Now we have, there's a big hospital here and there's a lot of nurses here. And I've been getting more clients from there, I guess. Mm-hmm. And, it's hard. It's really hard. Like they're there to take care of people, but still got to take care of themselves too. And I will say 100%. With shift work, it becomes more difficult. I will say
absolutely
tying that back to the meal frequency. We have it now, or at least with this one person, we're trying to still have those X meals, right? She's currently on 3. We're going to work towards 4 possibly. But she was on 2. So this is already an improvement. And we're just trying to have kind of like a window, you know, of like yes. enough hours so that we can kind of squeeze it. We can kind of make it work both on like the day and the night shift. You know what yep. I mean? So that's something we're trying right now. But what I will say, like it's more tricky, you know,
big time. Yeah. Shift workers are tough.
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel bad for them in a sense, because I mean, just the circadian rhythm being thrown off like that, it can really impact people, you know? So, but you can make it work. You can make it work. You can figure it out.
For sure. It's not optimal, you know, mm-hmm. and it's not going to be, mm-mm. but you can still work with it for sure. I do think we need to be aware of like the downsides and the negative health consequences, but we can still mitigate them yeah. by at least trying to sleep enough, you know, and trying to stay consistent enough. Just work with what we have. But either way, I think it was a good little episode. We ran through it a little quicker than expected.
That's okay.
But I think that's cool. I like the shorter episodes as well, you know?
Yeah.
Cool. You have anything exciting coming up?
Going bird hunting this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. We're taking
the dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. But other than that, just doing deep work on the business.
Yeah, me too. A lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So that being said, let's wrap it up. I just wanted to thank the listener once again if you joined this episode. Please do us a huge favor. Take a quick screenshot, drop it in your Instagram stories, or drop us a review if you'd like to do so. Or you know what? Just send it to a friend. You know, send this episode to a friend who you think can benefit from this stuff. So that being said, see you next week, Christine.
Thanks for listening.
All right, that's it for today. As a thank you for sticking around, I'd love to send you a free copy of my ebook, The Definitive Fat Loss Nutrition Guide. Honestly, if you like the podcast, I'm sure you'll love the ebook. So if you want it, all you need to do is either click the link in the show notes or DM me on Instagram at johanvesters_OCS and I'll personally send it to you. Thanks again for listening to today's episode. I'll talk to you soon.